I did so in this case to lay it completely at rest, any thought that you were kicking me out. It doesn't hurt me to be kicked out, but it surely hurts you to kick me out. I told him...
I think it hurts both of us.
Well,
it's not true.
That's right. It isn't true, but apart from the fact that a lot of things that aren't true, I don't try to stop. But in this case, I told him of the conversation in which it happened, I don't know when it was, let's say 2 months ago, in which you said to me in your little room, what happened to the bank job, and was I still interested? And I said, yes. You said, I said, yes, but I want to make clear I'm going to stay as long as you want me to. And you said, well... And this is what I told him that I wanted you to know. You said, you deserve whatever you want in this government. I'm going to see you get it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I told him that. And after that, I didn't have any more problem with him. Now, I also talked to Teddy Kennedy this morning. He tells me that his statement on the floor last night, and I read the record, and he did say in his statement on the floor that it came from a newsman. He tells me that it came from Arnold, whoever Arnold is, of the New York Times. So this stuff has been floating around in the Times, and Teddy tells me he will make no more statements of that kind or implying in any way other than that it was my interest that led to this. I also talked to Bobby this morning. He says he hasn't talked to anybody. Now, I can only tell you what he said. Now, I do think there's a vacuum here, Mr. President, that'll need some filling today. I have a draft of a little statement I think might be made by me. It raises a question... as to how long you want me to stay. I have a little statement that George Christian might put out that answers that.
All right, here's what I think, Bob. I think that this is going to leave the finest record ever made in this government by any administrator tarnished up of the record, not without without any justification whatever. That's number one. Now, number two, everybody, I've been charged with a lot to... lesser crimes than changing a cabinet officer. I mean, that's the president's prerogative.
Sure.
Change anybody anytime he wants to, and it would make all of them happier all the time. And I guess if you've mentioned it to me once, I would say six times that you have told me that you thought it would be to my interest to change some
that's
folks
right.
around here,
that's
and
right.
particularly you and Russ, that you might want to... I don't think you ever mentioned Russ' name, but I think, yes, you did.
I think
you said that Dean and I, you probably ought to be giving thought to finding somebody to take our place. We've
exactly
been here a long
right.
time. But that's not important. What is important, and what's just terribly kept me awake last night, and I've been on the phone all morning, and I've talked to everybody that I got any confidence in, what is terribly important, they're using this as an attack on my Vietnam War policy.
I know it.
And they're trying to make it appear that you have been overridden all the time, and that... that I am in the hands of the generals, and then in the next breath that they're resigning because you're leaving. I just don't understand it, but that's what they're doing. Now, I think what we ought to do is first we ought to get the damn job. I think the worst thing could happen is to be considered and be rebuked and be turned down. Now, it's going to take a little time for me to tell this because it's awful woven around. Your memorandum is not in... accordance with my memory and not in accordance with what we can establish here. Most of it is. But if you get it out in front of you, that's the first thing we ought to clean up. We'll discuss it and try to get some
agreement.
On the 18th of April, George Woods told me he planned to recommend me as his successor at the World Bank. He asked whether I'd be interested. I told him, as I've told at least 20 others in the past, that I've never believed in considering a future job and so forth, that at present I felt deeply obligated to serve you as long as you want me to. He replied it's not necessary to make any decision then, although his term ended, he would be willing to stay on for another year. I know nothing about that, and I assume that that is just exactly what happened.
That's
what you told me, was, not 2 or 3 weeks from April, the first time you talked to me was the last part of the summer. You didn't tell me last April this. You told me in the presence of Marvin Watson, I was surprised that he was there. But you asked for a chance to talk to me after a meeting.
Right.
And... he arranged it, and he came in and said, Secretary McNamara is here, wants to talk to you, and says, just 2 minutes, you came in. At that meeting, you said what is about the same as your paragraph C. But now let me tell you what's wrong with paragraph D. 2 or 3 weeks after my conversation, I didn't know it in April. I reported the conversation, stating the matter. I don't think it's important, but I just want to be sure we're accurate. Yeah. The matter might come to your attention. I did not want you to think I was planning to leave before you wanted me to do so. You asked whether I was interested in the job. I replied I had not thought of the possibility before George mentioned it, that I knew relatively little about it, and so forth. Now, that paragraph B, and the less developed countries, so I don't buy that. What I remember is you're saying, and I think this is accurate, Mr. President, George Woods told me, and I think this happened in August, we're looking it up now, August or September, but probably August, George Woods has talked to me about the World Bank and says that his term expires in December, that he would be prepared to stay on some longer, up to a year. And he has told me he wants to recommend me for this. You will be hearing about this, and before it comes to you, I want to be the first to tell you that about it, because I want you to know that I don't want you hearing that I'm out here being considered for another job without your knowing it, and that I don't want you to think that I'm considering leaving your administration without your knowledge and without your approval. I'm ready to serve you and the country as long as you need me. Now, that was about the words. Then you said, but I am interested in the job, period. I didn't say one word. You didn't discuss the job, and I didn't either, because I was a little addled by it, and I didn't quite understand it. And you just said that I got from your conversation two principal points, and I think these are very important to the memorandum and to our statement. I got the point, first, that Woods had talked to you, that told you he was recommending you, that you wanted me to know that, so when I heard it, you assumed I would hear it. I would not think that you were out shopping for a job behind my back, and that you wanted me to know that you weren't going to take any job behind my back. That's number one. The second thing was that when and if it were possible for you to be free to take a job, that you would be interested in this one. Now, those are the two facts that I think you communicated with me, according to me and my memory. The next thing was, October the 16th, as near as we can tell, which was some 2 or 3 months later, sitting in the room, I asked you what you'd heard about the World Bank thing, if you were still interested. And you said, I think substantially what you said here in your paragraph C. That
paragraph D.
Paragraph D. You said that all you knew is what Woods had told you, that he was recommending you, that you wanted me to know that you didn't want to be considered leaving me or running out in any appearance, that you wanted to serve me as long as you could. And I said, I think that you deserve any job in the government any job that you want, anywhere, without any limitations, what you had done. That's the way I feel then, and I feel now. And I don't limit it. I'd make it president of parish, by God, if I had it. I feel that way. Now then, those two things are straight. The next thing I heard, also I think you ought to put in there right then, because it is true, I ask you who you would recommend. And as I remember it, you listed four names. You listed Clifford and Vance and Harold Brown and who was the other one?
I've forgotten all of them, but I know those three were.
I know those three and one more. Maybe it's Nitzy. And I think you gave me. Maybe he might be a poor fourth, but we don't want to say that. But I think that was the tenor of the thing. I think you ought to say in that memorandum that you. I ask you, I told you that you entitled any job you want to, and I ask who would you recommend for your successor, because that was a part of my whole thing. And I never told Joe Fowler that I would have objected to this damn Woods mentioning it. I would have resented Woods doing it if I just didn't think that you were entitled to anything you wanted, including my wife. That's the way I feel about it. So, and I don't want to get blamed here for cashiering a friend and so forth. So, you made those recommendations. I never did any more about it, very frankly, any more than than I had done when you had told me and Dean had told me that you thought that the time would come when I want to change, because I don't look forward to that day. It's not a pleasant one for me. Who in the hell do I think can go up and explain these difficult decisions, and I can talk to as freely as I do you without ever hearing a word about it, so forth. So I left it there. But Fowler came in, and Fowler said about this to me, and I must say to you, I haven't said this to anybody else, he had talked to me about leaving himself, told me he owed $70,000 to Alexandria Bank, had to get out. He'd been offered the stock exchange job. I'd ask him to stay on at least until the end of this year. When this end of the year thing came up, he said, now, George Woods tells me, and I'm quoting him just verbatim, that Bob tells him that he has talked to you about George's desire for Bob to succeed him. And when he said that, my heart came up my throat, because I thought, God damn it, I'm going to have a fight here between Fowler and McNamara. And I had already said to McNamara what I thought, but this is kind of in Fowler's department. And he said, I understand that, but we've got to have two other names. And would you have any objection to my recommending to George that he present the names of Doug Dillon and David Rockefeller? And I said, yes, I would. And he said, well, I don't know why, what's wrong? And I said, well, I said to McNamara, I think he's entitled to anything he wants, and somebody may think that Dillon is a better banker than McNamara, some may think that Rockefeller is in the world picture. And I don't want to get a competitor here, Henry. And that was my way of also telling him that I didn't want any other cabinet people involved. And he said, well, I've just got to have two names. And I said, no, you don't. Well, he said, the Wood says he's got to have three, and he's going to present McNamara's name. And I said, well, I'm not going to interfere with Wood presenting McNamara's name, but I'm not going to give any more. Well, he said, Mr. President, I think you just got to. Now, I hate to repeat this, but he went on just that way, a rather argumentative thing. And I said, okay, let's present NHTSA, and let's present this fellow, your assistant secretary. He was raising hell about it. He's on Inter-American Bank. Forget his name, but whatever the assistant secretary from Missouri is. And present his name. He said, oh, no, I just couldn't do that. They wouldn't think he's qualified. I said, well, he's on Inter-American Bank for the United States now. He's made many millions of dollars, and he's assistant secretary of Treasury. And, well, he said he just wouldn't do, and with a man of McNamara's class. And I said, I think that's right. That's why I'm nominating him. That's why I'd suggest to you. And I said, he said, well, what about NHTSA? That just wouldn't do. And I said, NHTSA was a great banker before McNamara ever had a savings account, Henry. I said, NHTSA was with Dillon Reed and married a rich woman. And I looked at all of his holdings with the Armed Services Committee years and years ago, and all of his FBIs and everything else. And he would be a wonderful background for an international bank. And if George Wood's got to have three, you add those two. He said, all right. Now, he didn't tell me anything else any more than when Cy Vance told me that he would have to leave. I don't know whether he was negotiating or who was presented him to, Simpson, Bartlett, Thatcher. I didn't know any more about it. They didn't tell me when they were meeting, what they were meeting, anything. He just told me they had to have two names because he presented your name and had to have two more to go with it. The next thing I heard was the day you called me this week. And when you did, I said, well, I think we ought to hold it. Now, have you talked to Rustin before his column last night? Did he talk to you about this before we wrote the column?
No, he did call here several times, and I refused to talk to him. And, of course, that's what he started out with last night. It never would have happened if I'd talked to him. I said, okay, I accept the responsibility that I didn't talk to you, but now I am. So I didn't talk to him before 12:15 last night.
Well, the only thing worries me, I want to be careful, because they say, well, you didn't know that your name was being presented. Well, I didn't know your name was being presented.
No, and I
didn't nominate. I haven't signed a name yet. All I've been told was that George Woods says that they ought to elect somebody, and I gather that they were a little upset that the United States had made no recommendation. I don't know what our problem is to make a recommendation. I don't think we have any authority to select the man, and maybe under the bylaws we have some obligation to nominate him. It's never been presented to me that way. The only way I've been presented is what you told me, the George Woods. And for all I knew, Bob, you never asked me to recommend you. For all I know, from your conversation, George Woods might even have the power to appoint you, from all I knew.